Okay, again, we're up to Perik Diriyam Beis, Perik Vav, Pasik Lamed Ches, the Shavu Elecha B'chol Libam. And here, Dear Hirshlama says that Klal Yisrael, when they come and they mispal to you, they will return to you with all of their heart, B'chol Nafsham, B'eretz Shavyam, in the land of their captivity, Asher Shavu, some which they have been taken captive, where they've been seized as captives. They will pray to you through the land. In other words, they will direct their prayers towards Eretz Yisrael, Asher Nasat Alav Asam Dehuyasher Bacharta, not just to Eretz Yisrael, but through the Yerushalayim, the Labayis Asher Bonisa Lishmecha, to the Bayis which you have built, which I have built in honor of your name. Pasuk Lametes V'Shamatim V'Shamayim, you will listen from the heaven. M'chon Shivtecha Es Tefilasam V'Es Techinoy Sehem, their prayer and their supplication. V'Yosisa Mishpatam, you will do their mishpat. This Solachta Liamcha Asher Chotloch, and you will forgive your people which they have sinned to you. Atoy Elokai, now my God, Yihu no Einecha Pesuchos, may your eyes be opened, V'oznecha Kashuvos, may your ears listen carefully, L'tfilas Hamokim Hazeh, to the prayers that take place in this Mokim. V'atoy now, Kum Hashem Elokim L'nuchecha, similar to the word that we have in davening, L'nuchasecha, that's what it says in the Torah, but here's a different word, same idea, may you rise of Hashem L'nuchecha to your resting place, same words, same to rest. May you Hashem rise to your rest. In other words, may your Shechina come and descend upon you, the Beis Hamikdash, which is the place of your resting. Ata you va'aron uzech, you and your mighty Aron Koyanecha, your priests Hashem Elokecha, Hashem Elohim Elokim, Yilbashu Teshua, Koyanecha, your priests Hashem Elokim, Yilbashu Teshua, may they dress themselves in salvation. V'chasidecha yismchu v'atov. So may your kohanim dress in salvation, and may your pious ones rejoice in your good. We'll see the Rashi and the Mitzulis in a moment. Let's finish the perek. Hashem Elokim al toshe pnei mshichecha. Do not turn away the face of your anointed one empty handed. You have to add those words into the pasuk. It doesn't say that, but it's understood. Do not turn me away empty handed. Zachor, remember l'chasdei David avdach. Remember the kindness of David your servant. Okay, a lot of things going on here. Let's take a look at pasuk lamechas the mitzudos. Lamitches derech artzam ki biyos biyosam yeretz ha'iv dechavim ti hakavana she ta'avor hatfil derech artzam liyab ve'ir ba'bayis. Three things. That when you live in Chutz Liaretz and you pray to Hashem, so the prayers are channeled through three different channels. First, towards Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael it goes towards Yerushalayim, and in Yerushalayim it goes towards the Beis Hamikdash, and from there it goes to heaven. So you're going in the direction, you're going, the prayer is towards Yerushalayim. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Tes, Yosisa Mishpatam, they will pray to you, and you will listen to them, and you will do their mishpat. What does that mean? Linkad me'avdei ha'kachavim, to take revenge, exact vengeance from the enemies, the goyim l'man yakiru shaloi toiv, b'nei Hashem hechbadeta oilam al Yisrael, to show them that it's not good in the eyes of Hashem how the world has pressed hard upon Klal Yisrael. Hashem does not like it when the nation of the world subjugate the Jewish people and when they cause them hardship. They lay a heavy hand upon his people. Pasuk Memalf, Kum Hashem Kum Bimkomcha LaHashras HaShchina B'mokem HaMenucha V'hi Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. So here David is, Shlomo is begging Hashem to rise up. Hashem, you shall rise from your Mokem, wherever the Shechina is resting, and may it move, and may it come and descend and rest upon the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the place of the Aron. Pasuk. Now then, the next pasuk talks about the Kohanim. May the Kohanim, Kohanecha, your Kohanecha, Hashem Elokim, Yilvashu Seshua. May they dress themselves in salvation. What does that mean? Mitzudos, Ratzal Leimar, Teshuascha Yakifam, Misaviv Beged Yate. May your salvation surround them, envelop them as a garment envelops a person, and may your pious ones rejoice in good. What does that mean? Mitzudos, Behatoiva haba mimcha, from the good that comes from you. And then he ends off his prayer with the request, Al Toshe Ratzalayim Al Toshe Pnei Rekam. There's an egg missing word in the pasuk. It's a mikra chaser. Don't turn me away empty handed. He left that word out. Al Toshe, don't Al Teshivenu Rekam Milifonecha. Here the word Rekam is missing. That's self understood. Do not turn me away empty-handed, not to accept my prayer. David, and now he invokes the suchus of his father David, for the deeds of kindness, sha'asa David avi uvavuroi, and in his sake, al toshev pnei reikam, in his sake, do not turn me away empty-handed. Okay, so the mitzvahs. Let's go through the Rashi's. Rashi pasuk lamed ches. Asher bonisi, may you listen to the prayers that I've built in this bayis. Asher bonisi lishmecha pishroin habayis hazem. Asher bonisi kedei legadol shemcha. I've built in order to give glory to your name. Ki oz kishakabel tefilasam. Then when you will accept the prayers, oz yisval lucha habayis hazem oy b'chol mokam shahim yifnu lebeis chazem. Because I built this bayis so that it should be a source of prayer. Either they'll come to the bayis itself, or they will live in chutz liaretz and they will pray towards your Eretz Yisrael, and then towards the Beis Hamikdash, the Yerushalayim, and towards the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, pasuk lametes v'shamat v'losam v'alzei yiskad l'shimcha b'yolam, and you listen to their prayer, and by you listening to their prayer, this will serve as a sanctification, a glorification of your name. People will see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he listens to prayer, and he answers prayer, and people will come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yatakum Hashem, shloi lihitaltel kasher ad ata, so therefore rise up Hashem and come to a permanent resting. What I think what it's alluding to over here is el hanachala. This is going to be the final resting place. This is machlekes megemara, what it means, menucha nachla. We are more familiar that menucha means Shiloh, and nachla means Yerushalayim. However, there are other Maamari Chazal that say just the opposite. It's strange because the order, the chronological order, is reversed. But they translate kilo ibos marata el hamenucha v'el hanachla. Nachla is Shiloh, and minucha is Yerushalayim, and that fits with that Maamar Chazal where the order is reversed. That the nachal, the minucha, is Yerushalayim. It makes more sense to a certain degree because that indeed is the final resting place, and that's what it says here in this pasuk memalav yatokum Hashem elkim linuchecha, to your resting place. This should be the final minucha where the Shechina will rest, and it's not going to go anymore to another location. As we discussed many times, the memela bamos will become aser. And the whole Klal Yisrael should recognize that this is the place, Hashem Yivcha, Hashem Elokecha, this indeed is the final resting place. Shelo Litaltel Kasher Ad Ata, not to move from place to place like that you have done until now. Mishiloi Lenoiv, Uminoiv Legivoin, Ata Yuv Aron Uzecha, Shelo Litaltel Od Meata, do not move Uzecha. Why is the Aron called Might? Why here in this passage to refer at might? Al Shem Kain Karu Zecha Al Sha'asa Niflaosa the Azuzos the Pelishtim, because he did wonders and mighty things against the Pelishtim. When the Aron was captured by the Pelishtim, they were stricken with hemorrhoids and all these strange things. And the Avodah Zara came crashing down. They put the Aron in the presence of the Avodah Zara. They woke up the next day, and the Avodah Zara of the Pelishtim was on the floor, came crashing down. So the Pelishtim recognized that this Aron, the Shechina, is resting upon the Aron, and it has done mighty things. And that's why here we call the Aron Uzech Al Shem.
But 9 out of 10 times, any form of the word Oz refers to Torah.
Hashem, oh, okay, and it's in Echnami, so the Arun has the Torah inside of it, the Luchos and the Sefer Torah, so that's also true. It's very good. But here Rashi says, Al Shem Kein Kar Uzech, Al Sha'asa Nifla Oisav, the Azu Zos, done wonders and mighty things, the Pelishtim, the Chaim Ksiv, and so it says, Behoidu Hashem, Dirshu Hashem, the Uzo, Sikat Hashem, the Uzo and his might. What does the pasuk there mean, the Uzo? It means seek out the Aron. It means seek out the Aron. The Aron is called the Oz. Like you said before, it means the Torah, but the Torah, the Aron is called the Oz because of the, he's here learning, at least it means the mighty things. The Odom Rabba Sinus Bemsechus of the Schavim, the Yisharna HaParos, that the Paros, when the Aron was sent by the Pelishtim back to the home of Beis Obed Edom, after the Pelishtim recognized that they have committed a terrible sin by taking the Aron, and they suffered terribly with different types of diseases, they built a new wagon, and they brought new Paros, and they put the Paros surrounded the Aron, and the Paros escorted the Aron towards to Klal Yisrael. It says in the pasuk of Shmuel, "Vayisharna." It sung. The paros sang a song, and there are many Maamari Chazal. My Shira Amru. what was the shiur, what was the song. So the different interpretation of what the song was. Well, one of the interpretations is, Hayishia loy yiminoi, may his right hand save us, uzeroa kocho, and his holy arm, his holy outstretched arm. An arm is always, the zeroya is always associated with oz. An arm, uzeroya hanetuya, your outstretched arm. What does an outstretched arm do? It does mighty deeds. And since this was the song of the, we see here that the Paros were singing this song when the Aron, miraculously, words were coming out of the Paros as it was transporting the Aron, and the words it used was Uzeroya Kocho, his holy arm, which is associated with the concept of oaths. We see that there is a relationship between the concept of oaths and the Aron HaKodesh.
There's also Rashi trying to say that there used to be a time when they took out the Aron from the Muhammad.
It only, Chazal seemed to tell us, it only happened once. The only time they took the Aron to Muhammad was only during that fateful battle at the end of Shiloh, when the Aron was captured. That was the only time.
Wasn't it in Yikra when they took out their kain? There was a kain meshuach Muhammad.
Kain, but just because the kain meshuach Muhammad doesn't mean the Aron accompanied the people to battle. They went to battle, and the kain meshuach Muhammad, he got up and he gave them musr. And he gave them exceptions, who exemptions from war, but does not necessarily mean that the Aron went with them to battle. The Aron went to battle, we know for a fact, in the time of the Plishtim, that battle at the very end of Mishkan Shiloh. I believe there's a Chazal that says that was the only time they ever took out the Aron with them to battle. Or could be, I don't remember correctly, but some learned that they took out the Shivrei Luchos. Which Aron do they take with them to battle? They take out the Shivrei Luchos, they take out the Luchos that would... That's one opinion. There are different opinions on this matter. They have two Aronis, they have one Aron, and even if they have two Aronis, what exactly do they take out with them to battle? There, at the time of the Plishtim, they were really desperate. They took out the real deal. They took out everything. They took out even Mamish, the Luchos Mamish, because this was the Matzav, and that was a mistake, and that's why he was captured, and that led to this entire process of the Aron coming back, and the Paros were singing. And what did it sing? There are many Mamari Chazal that tell us different songs, different things that they sang. One of the opinions is, what it says over here is, this pasuk, Shiloh Yeminu Zeroya Kocho, may Hashem's right arm, and may his Zeroya, his holy Zeroya, bring salvation. Why are they singing the song? It must be that there's an association between the Zeroya Kocho and the Aron, and the Zeroya is also always associated with the concept of oaths. Okay, next word is Yilmshu Teshua. Nay, the Kayhanim, may they be dressed in salvation. What is the deeper meaning according to Rashi of this expression, the Pasuk? Machmash lo yutaltilo mimokim lomokim kumo v'hoyet tzedek ozur masnov. That this is an expression, Rashi says, that it's not going anywhere. Levisha, when you use the term Levisha, there's much greater depth than this. It means it's associated with the concept of rest. You dress yourself in salvation, you wear a certain type of lavush when you are at home. When you travel, you put on your cowboy boots and your gear. But when you're at home and you're resting at home, then you wear a different type of garment. So the fact that it says Yilbashu Teshua, they will wear garments of salvation, there's a connotation in this expression that they are now at ease, they're at home, and they're going to dress in their royal robes, which means the Aron is not going to move anywhere. Yeah?
Yeah.
Garments are also sometimes called midos.
Okay. Well, that's another idea. That's another idea. I understand that. But that's not what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying here, who's Rashi? Machmas, right. And of course, you always have a midoy bad. Midoy bad, you have mido, it means your midos, your midos. But here Rashi is saying a different idea. Yilbashu teshua. What is this expression doing here in the context of this psukim? Machmas shalo yital telo, mimokim lemokim, because we're not going to any further travel anymore, so it's going to be represented in the concept of levush, of garments. And that means that when you are at home, you wear a different type of garment than when you are traveling. When you're traveling, kamo v'hoyet tzedek, we find over here, tzedek righteous, will be a zur masnav, tzedek will be the with the belt for your loins. Another idea which you'd find Levush, okay, I'm not exactly clear how that ties into this, but this is the general idea of why we're comparing it to garments. Then it concludes off the last Rashi, or the last two Rashis of Yismichu B'tov, may your pious ones rejoice in your good, B'roiv Toivois, the pious ones to refer to the Levim. The Levim are the ones who are going to receive gifts from Klal Yisrael. They receive Meiser, Meiser Rishon, Chumas Meiser. So that's the good. The good are the blessings that Klal Yisrael will give them to support them. In reward, Sheshoimrin es Aron, they guard the Aron, Umeshoimrin lefonav, and they sing before it. In reward for guarding and singing the Aron, they receive compensation, and that is the Toif. Then he concludes the last words of this Tfilah, Al Toshe Prem Shichecha, Melasos Toiva Imadi, Vim Loy Lamani. If you don't want to do it for my sake, do it. Ase Lamancha, do it for your sake. And it's not exactly what it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Al Toshe Prem Shichecha, Zoch Velechaste David Avdecha. And here he's saying, don't do it for your sake. So your sake, Hashem, your sake is not the same as David's sake. I don't know why. I don't know where Rashi is. What Rashi means. A lot of the Rashi's here are very obscure, as we know. The very difficult. There's only one translation of the Rashi that I know of. You know, the Judaica Press. They have the whole Tanakh. So what do? The first thing they do in every single pasuk is they translate Rashi word for word. They translate a word for it, and then occasionally they give you a couple of other, depending on the volume, they give you also other commentators. Other svarim that I have, like the art scroll, they less than 50% of the time they quote Rashi. They don't even quote Rashi. They quote the general commentators. And they certainly will never translate a Rashi if you mila b'mila. And the Das Soifrim also doesn't quote Rashi that often. It's very hard to find a modern day a commentator that will quote the Rashi and explain the Rashi. I don't know of any. Even the Judaica Press, they don't explain Rashi. The best they'll do is they'll translate the words of Rashi word for word, and sometimes they allude that the Rashi is not so clear, we don't really know what it means. It's hard to really decipher what the Rashi is, the deeper meaning of Rashi. It could be that the Rashi that we have in Devar HaYamim, first of all, we know that it's not really from it's not Nuch that Rashi wrote it. It's a very big debate if Rashi wrote it. Rashi could be that someone else wrote it, and it's, for whatever reason, we call it Rashi, or maybe Rashi wrote it in his younger years, or it was not edited, or the manuscript was missing piece, was corrupt, and that's why a lot of these Rashis in Devar HaYamim are very hard to really get your finger on, to really know what he's referring to. And here is another one of many examples. What is Pasuk Rashi saying? Al Toshev, do not turn away Pnei B'Shichecha, don't turn away your anointed one. And then he goes on to say, Zochu L'chaste Dov Ravdecha. And Rashi says, Melas Lez Tov Imadi Vim Lo Laman Yase Lamancha. But that's not what the Pasuk says. Ase Laman David. Do it for David, not for your sake, Hashem. So it's not clear what Rashi means to say.
He said, Hashem alikim atoshe p'nei mishichecha,
yeah.
Period. And he meant, not for, do what you know, lamancho. And then when Ezra put it together, he wanted to say something good. He ended Zohar l'chaz.
Okay, that would be that would be an interesting idea, but the problem is that we're overwhelmed with a very popular medrash that says that when they brought the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, this is the Medrash right now, that when they brought the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the doors of the Aron cleaved to each other of the Akosh, and did not want to allow him. So David says, first, what did he do? He recited 24 Rinnonos. Now, what does it mean, 24 Rinnonos? So if you count, the version of this tefillah is not exactly the same as what it says in Sefer Melachim. It's almost word for word. There are a few small differences, but there is a calculation. It's not easy to make the calculation because there are many different types of expressions where there are 24 words of tefillah, techina, and rina. I don't know the exact number, but it says here the word tefillah appears over and over. The word techina, supplication, appears over and over. And the word rina appears once. So it's a grand total of 24 expressions of prayer. And that indeed is why on a Yom Tainis, we don't have the Tainis Bizmanas anymore, but it used to be in ancient times when there was Atziras Geshamim, so then the Shmone Esrei was extended from 18 blessings to 24 blessings. And the Gemara Masechet Tainis tells us what the extra blessings are. And in fact, some of the blessings are extracted from things, psukim, that it says over here. But remember, on a Tainis, you learn Masechet Tainis, not so far down the line in Daf Yomi, you learn that there on a Yom, when there's an Atziras Kesham, Tamech Chazal, they had a special Shmona Esrei. 24 blessings. Chazal is why 24 blessings? Keneged, the 24 Rinonos, expressions of supplication that were said by Shlomo at the time when he attempted to bring the Aron into the Kodesh HaKodashim. The doors miraculously shut, would refuse to allow entry until he said, and he tried with these 24. What are the 24 supplications? So if you would think, if not knowing for the Gemara, you would think that he said to Hillim, he said some type of Mizmoirim, which were supplications. That's not what it means. It means he said this whole Nusach that we're reading today, this Perek, Perek Vav. Perek Vav, not from the beginning, but starting Perek Vav, which starts from Pasuk of Vayam. Vayomer Hashem, let me find the Pasuk. Yasa Shal Kiyar. It's starting from Pasuk Yudalit. Starting from Pasuk Yudalit, all the way until where we are right now, the end of the parak, all these psukim, this is the 24 renonos that were said by David at the time when they tried to bring the Aron into the Kodesh HaKodashim. He stood on the Kiyor, he extended his hands to Shemayim, and he prayed. What's the 24 renonos? Count the words, you'll find that in total, the word tefillah, and the word techina, and the word rina, adds up to 24. Problem is, if you look at Sefer Melachim, you're going to have more than 24. And if you look over here in Divrei Hayom, you're going to have 23. So, what does it mean? 24, it's not 24 here, and it's not 24 there. Okay, so you got to figure out which time the word tefillah counts, which time the word techina counts. I don't think there's any clear solution to decipher the mystery of the 24 techinos that are found here in this perek. Then that did not work. After Shlomo finished making these 24 techinos, he was still unsuccessful. So what did he do? He said these magic words, Zochra L'chaste David Avdecha. So here you can't say, you tried to say that the one who said these words was Ezra Nehemiah. But it says here, the one that says these words was not Ezra Nehemiah, it was actually Shlomo himself. Remember the schus of my father David. And then miraculously the doors opened. And at that time, all of David's enemies, their faces turned black like the bottom of a pot. Keshuli Kedera. Why? Because everyone believed that David was guilty, the mice of David and Bathsheba, and Shlomo was illegitimate, and he had no right to build the space Hamikdash. He had no right to do everything that he's doing over here not proper. And now when Hashem, the Shechina, rested and the doors miraculously opened only in the Zuchus of David, everyone recognized Kol Omer David Chata Ein Ella Taya. They realized David's sin was not to be understood on a simple level. It was a higher level. We don't understand exactly what happened, and they recognized that Hashem was with David. So Shlomo HaMelech indeed did say these words. And before we go further, I want to just point out a few interesting things about this parak. Yeah. No, referring to himself. Referring to Shlomo HaMelech himself. Shlomo HaMelech is the Mashiach. He is the anointed one. He has been anointed king. I'm praying to you, Hashem. I'm begging you. I've invested 7 years of my life building the space HaMikdash, and I'm praying to you that you should accept my service, and you should rest your Shechin in this Mokim, and there should be a place of a center of prayer for the entire world. Don't turn me away empty-handed. I'm the anointed one. I have been anointed by my father David to be the Melech. And if you don't want to listen, do it in my zuchus, so do it in the zuchus of my father David. And indeed Hashem accepted his prayer. The Shechina came down and rested. Here, okay, this is a very powerful prayer. It begins in Pasuk Yudalit, ends over here. In Sefer Melachim, there's more. In Sefer Melachim, it goes on. After he finished making the prayer, he then gave them a blessing. Shlomo HaMelech began to bless the whole collection of psukim that we say in part of the Nusach of Hashanis. All these psukim, Mandas, Kolamir, Ski Hashem, Elokim, the whole other collection, we're not going to go to the psukim, and that, for whatever reason, is not included in Sefer Divrei Hayam. Divrei Hayam only has the tefillah, does not have the barakah. There's a prayer to Hashem, and then Shlomo, he blesses Klal Yisrael with a very elaborate blessing. We leave that out. Okay, there's a few things I came across yesterday I want to point out. Number one, we discussed that this prayer was said when Shlomo was standing on top of a kiyar. The kiyar was 5 amas by 5 amas, and it was 3 amas tall. And the question is, what's the purpose of this kiyar? So it was a platform. And in fact, the Sefer Avodah Kohen says this is the makar that every time there is in the Beis Hamikdash something is done, for example, the Kohen Gadol Yom HaKippurim, they build the bima. Why do they build the bima? Who says you're even allowed to build the bima in the Beis Hamikdash? You're not allowed to add to the structure. We know that on the Hakel, on every 7 years, when the Kohen Gadol, when the Melech, he read from the Sefer Torah, every 7 years, everyone came into the Azara, into the Beis Hamikdash, and they built a platform, and the king sat down on the platform, and he read Mishnah Torah to Klal Yisrael. So how are you allowed to build a platform? Isn't it a violation of building an extra structure in the Beis HaMikdash that was not sanctioned by Ruach HaKodesh? The answer is it is sanctioned. You have right over here, when Shlomo, the first king who had a Beis HaMikdash at his disposal to speak to Klal Yisrael, he built a kiyar, which is a platform that was 3 tefachim tall, it was 5 by 5, and he stood upon it. That was the legal precedent for every melech from here on in. Every 7 years, when he was hakel, he didn't just do hakel sitting on the floor, he did hakel from a platform. Okay, that's a very important concept, and this is the makar. The Kohen Gadol as well. The Kohen Gadol every single year, we're learning Yom now, we'll come across it, and when the Avodah was over, he read Parshas Acharemos. That was a big thing. People wanted to see the Kohen Gadol read at the end of the Avodah. He would read from the Sefer Torah, and they didn't roll the Sefer Torah tichud. It's true. There are many halachas that are derived from the way the Kohen Gadol read the Sefer Torah on Yom Kippurim. If I'm not mistaken, the Kohen Gadol also did this on the platform. If I'm not mistaken, maybe I'm wrong. How do you label the platform? How do you label the platform of the Azara and the Azara? Here's the Makar. He did it upon a kiyar. Now we discuss and we learn this. Why was it called a kiyar? Kiyar in our vernacular means a wash basin. So we said the article is a very nice piece on this, that the kiyar, you have to know what the root word kiyar means, a design. It doesn't necessarily mean a wash basin. The word this that we call a wash basin, the kiyar is a borrowed expression. But the more precise, the more the original word a kiyar means a design. It means a design. Where does it come from? I don't remember where it comes from. I know he has a source there. He tells you where it comes from. He has the source. I don't remember. It doesn't necessarily mean a wash basin. However, that's a little bit of a stretch, because kiyar really does mean a wash basin. So I did see a medrash yesterday. I don't remember where the medrash is, and it ties in. I think it opens up a little bit of an explanation of why it chose the word kiyar. It says here that Shlomo lifted his hands. He was poires yadav lamala. He extended his hands towards heaven. Why did he extend his hands towards heaven? So Rashi told us on a very simple level, that's how you daven. In ancient times, the form of prayer is to spread your hands to heaven. That's the way, that is the tzura of tefillah. We do not do this today. The Gemara discussed this because since the Goyim, the non-Jews, have adopted spreading hands to heaven as a form of prayer, it became hated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we no longer do this. But this is the original way, Eferes Kapai El Hashem, to spread your hands towards the heaven. Okay, that's a simple interpretation. The Medrash gives another interpretation. The reason why he spread his hands, it was symbolic, telling Klal Yisrael, I didn't pocket one penny from this enterprise for my own wealth. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu, they suspected. We know this. We discussed this last week. Moshe, he collected the machzah shekel, and then they made a calculation. You know, Moshe, we're missing 1,775 shekelim. Moshe, where do they go? Maybe you took it for yourself. Maybe you took it. So Moshe didn't remember what happened. Moshe was in a lot of trouble. Okay, there was a sting operation. Read the news, Slay, what's going on? So what's going on? So Moshe finally remembered that the money was used for the vavei ha'amudim, the vavei, the hooks. Moshe was vindicated. He didn't do anything wrong. So Shlomo also was under suspicion. Maybe Shlomo pocketed some of the money for himself. And the amount of money that went through the hands of Shlomo was infinitely more than what went through Moshe Rabbeinu's hands. And over here, Shlomo is a very, the Malchus, dealing with you're dealing with families. You know, we're dealing with a very significant population. It's much larger. It's much more complex than it was in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. And they didn't have computer records. They didn't have audits, You can get away with it. So Shlomo HaMelech had to say, Rabbeisai, my hands are clean. My hands are empty. I didn't take one penny for myself. All of the wealth that my father accumulated and all of the wealth that I accumulated and I donated, it all went to build this makom. I promise you, I don't take one penny for myself. That's why he spread out his hands. Now, what? Vayifros kapov. Oh, so now I want to suggest part of the symbolism was that's why he stood on top of a kiyar. Because a kiyar is a symbolic kiyar, you are when the tilas, when you wash your hands. My hands are clean. Yodeinu l'shafchu es adam hazeh. We're not guilty. There's a very powerful drush. Why do you wash your hands when you come out of a base oilam? You wash your hands. You go to a funeral and you wash your hands. So why? So because of tumah. What's the difference? Anyway, we're all Tumei Mason. It doesn't make a difference. Are you washing hands going to accomplish? Washing your hands is not going to accomplish anything. We're all Tumei Mason. Okay, so simply, there is a little bit of and then you wash your hands. There's some extra dosage of Tumah that cleaves to your hands. You want to remove it. I challenge you to find in Halacha such a concept that it's really true. There's extra Tumah on your hands. All right, whatever it is. But we wash our hands to try to cleanse some form of Tumah. But there's a drush. It's not pshat. I know what the drush is. When you go to a funeral, why does the person die? It's a tragedy. Even if the person's 100 years old, it's also a tragedy. Why do you have to die? What, he's chayiv misa? He did an avera. He was 100 years old. What did he do to deserve to die? He was a good man. He learned Torah, did mitzvos. Well, why? Obviously, there's a problem. Obviously, the Hashem is toivea. Every single person who was present at that funeral is guilty. If Hashem brought you there to that funeral to witness this event, that means, okay, this is a very mystical concept, don't take it too seriously, but if Hashem brought you there, you are responsible for this person's death. Your sins contributed to his death. Had you not sinned, had you been at a little higher level, maybe Hashem would have preserved this person's life a little bit longer. He would have lived. He would have lived a little bit longer, had a better life. We would not have come to this at this point in time. Guilty.
It's a real guilt.
It's a real guilt. As I told you, don't take me too seriously, but this is what it says. Therefore, when you leave the cemetery, you leave, you wash your hands and you say, Yodeinu lo shafchu es adam hazeh. You're trying to basically say, I'm not guilty. Now, how is that going to accomplish? Either you're guilty or you're not guilty. But it's no different than what the Kohanim do by the Egla Arufa, where you find the dead body in between two cities. You bring the Egla Arufa and you decapitate it. And then the Kohanim say, the Zakenim say, Yodeinu lo shafchu es hadam hazeh. What do you mean? Why, if your hands did not spill this blood, then why are you bringing an animal as atonement? So basically, what you're saying is a strange idea. You're basically saying you are guilty. That's what you're really saying. When you wash your hands, it's not that you're not guilty. It's I am guilty, and I'm going to make amends. I'm going to do tshuva. I'm going to makabel upon myself mikandu lahaba to cleanse myself from the chatoim that I'm guilty of, so that in hindsight it should not be that I was guilty of what has happened. That's
what's that have to do with the bathroom? You have two examples. I got to stand by. You said there were two things you wash hands when you come out of the bathroom.
I didn't tell him to go out of the bathroom. Did I say that?
Put that aside.
Coming out of the bathroom. Yeah, we wash our hands. Chazal Masak in the Nikias cleanliness. Cleanliness. There are different reasons. When you come to the Masak, he say there is some type of mystical tumma, but Chazal on a very similar level just wanted to make sure you don't get sick. I mean, the Pashad, you have to wash your hands. When you come to the Masak, he said that double Pashad. We know all about hygiene. Chazal were way ahead of their times. And there, you know, in those times when Chazal Masak in washing your hands, coming to the Masak, he say it appears that by the goyim, they didn't wash their hands. They were not aware of this modern day hygiene and bacteria and disease.
It was only found only 200 years ago.
They were way ahead of their time. They wash. You come to the Beis Akisei, there is bacteria on your hands. The Beis Akisei, this filth, and you want to be healthy. The Black Death. You know, when the Black Death. The time of the Black Death, many Jews survived. I mean, not many, but a significant more number of Jews relative to the Goyim survived the Black Death. Why? It was because they went to mikvah and they washed their tefillos yadayim, and
they still called us dirty Jews.
No,
and they suspected that we were behind it.
They blamed us.
Oh, that's nothing new. I mean, of course,
they blame us
even if
Jews are not dying, then die.
But the
Akhla Roof,
for example, I mean,
they're
Rashi.
Okay, this is a joke. I want to focus. The point I want to make is that when you that Kohanim, when they come, the Kohanim obviously are guilty. I mean, the Klal Yisrael is guilty. If a person is dead in between two cities, obviously something is.
The reason we're not Malavim, we're not invite him in. We let him go. Zonah, if he had us as company, we'd walk him out. The robber went.
So why then did he die? Why then did he die? Because someone did not accompany him. That's exactly the point.
Right, so it's a direct connection.
So what are they saying basically? They're in an indirect way. In an indirect way, they're basically saying we're guilty, and what we're going to do now is we're going to be mekabel upon ourselves to do tshuva. That something like this will never ever happen again, and therefore. It's at washing our hands. Yodeinu lo yishavches adam hazeh is basically al ha'osid for the future. Something like this will never happen again. We're going to do tshuva, and we're always going to make sure that when someone leaves the city, we're going to accompany him, and we're going to mechazek him. He should be have a good mazel, and he should have some self-worth, and he'll defend himself, he'll fight back, and something like this will never happen. And in the big picture of things, it will do tshuva, and will be atoned for this chait, that what has happened now, and in Echnami, we won't be guilty for what has happened because of our tshuva. But it did happen, and that means we are guilty, at least at this moment in time, and we have to now do tshuva to be makabel, mekan laba, that this will not happen. When you leave this funeral, you leave a cemetery, and you wash your hands, and you're doing exactly the same thing. You're washing your hands. Jush, yodeinu lo yishavchu es adam hazeh. A person died. You know why he died? Because of our sins. That's why he died.
You can't get up there and make a eulogy like that.
I told you this. You only can say this, al drush. I told you not to take it too seriously, but this is what it says. And there's truth to it. It's not a joke. There's truth to it. There's definitely truth to it. Your daily, that every person on some microscopic level, on his microscopic level, if you're present and you're witnessing a tzara, Rahman al-Islam, a terrible thing happens, you're witnessing even the person's 100 years old and he dies. It's Kesreifa Sefer Torah. Yuchum Chuyv Du Kriya when a person dies. The presence. So you're witnessing a very horrible thing, and it's a moment when you should be misoyer to do tshuva. And when you're doing tshuva, you're basically saying, you make makal upon yourself to tshuva, that something like this should never happen again, and you wash your deinu l'shavku es adam hazeh. That's where comes the idea of washing your hands. Now, Shlomo HaMelech is saying, Klal Yisrael, you think I'm guilty? You think I took for myself a couple of dollars, I pocketed a few dollars, I'm entitled after all, I didn't sleep, day and night I was involved, I'm entitled to some compensation, right? I'm the Melech. No, my hands are here, they're empty. And I'm standing on a kior. I'm standing on a wash basin. And the symbolism, the imagery is, I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm on a wash basin. And my hands are... don't suspect that the billions of dollars that have gone through, the trillions of dollars that have gone through my hands in building this structure, in this enterprise, I have taken anything for myself. That's why it was a key...
Go to the convention station.
This is the Beis Hamikdash, obviously.
Why didn't you question like Moshe when he was six?
Who says they didn't? Maybe they did. Maybe there was. It doesn't say. That's what it's saying. That's the deal. I mean, that's what it's alluding to. I'm spreading my hands. This is Beferish and Medrash. That the Medrash says. The Medrash doesn't say the key, but the Medrash is very clear. Rashi doesn't say the Medrash. Rashi says he puts up his hands because that's how you pray. In ancient times, that's how you pray. The Medrash says, you know why he put up his hands? To tell the Olam, I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm clean now, I'm clean. I'm standing on a wash basin to further illustrate the symbolism that I'm clean. Okay, that's one idea I want to share. Now, another idea. There's a very big debate among the poskim, among the mefarshim. This is the mystical stuff. Do malachim know what we think? Now, we don't even know about malachim. We have to have, it's hard enough of a challenge for us to have faith that there are malachim. Every Friday night, we say, Shalom Aleichem Malachi Asharis. Malachi Elyon. You have to have a Muna. Every so who in Klal Yisrael doesn't say Shalom Aleichem, you have to have some Malachim. It's a Gemara. Gemara Mesachus Shabbos of Kufki Tes. When you come home from Shul, you are accompanied by two Malachim. And when you walk into the house, the table is set, the bed is spread, and the Ner is Daluk. The Malachim give you a bracha. You're escorted by four Malachim. By two good Malachim and two bad Malachim. And if the Malachim see everything is in order, the two Malachim give a bracha. Halavai, next week you should be zoichet to peace in your home like this week. And the two bad Malachim answer, Amen. And if Rachman, it's the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. And Rachman, the son, you come home. And they see the things are not in order, then the two bad malachim, they give a curse, and the malachim, the good malachim, have to answer on it. Yaakov, in the list of parsha, Yisha Yaakov malachim. What does Rashi say? This is a famous verse. Malachim mamish. What does mamish stand for? Mamish stands for mita, shinish shulchan. What's the other mem? The mita, the shulchan. There's another. What? Mazon, the three things in the Gemara. The Gemara says the mitum mutsas, the ner is dalak. I don't remember those. So some of the mafarshim want to say that which malachim did he send? Which malachim did Yaakov Avinu send? Malachim mamish. Which malachim did he send? He sent the malachim that accompanied him home Friday night. Yaakov in the zuchus of Shmira Shabbos. That's why I'm going to be nitzel from Esav. The most famous malachim that we are associated, that we are affiliated with, are the malachim Friday night. Everyone says that you can't look at me like I'm crazy. Friday night, you say Shalom Aleichem. So Yaakov Avinu also, we have a tradition that everything that he also, what were the malachim that he was the most familiar with? The malachim which accompanied home Friday night. Those are the malachim which were made a testimony that he's a Shomer Shabbos. He's a Shabbos observant Jew. He observes the Sabbath. When he sent angels to Esav, who did he send? He sent those angels to tell Esav, watch out. The Zuchus of Shabbos will take care of me. That's one popular Medrash of Jehovah. But the point is, very good, we have Malachim. What exactly do Malachim know about us? What do they? They observe us. They observe us davening, they observe us talking, they observe us doing mitzvahs, doing averus. What do they know exactly? So there's a Tosfos. I didn't bring my notes. I wrote this down. Maybe they have it here. No, there's not. It's different. No, there's a different set of notes. But there's a Tosfos that says the Malachim even know what we think. They know what we think. That's scary business. Malachim know our thoughts, our machshavos. So this is hotly debated by the Achronim and many Rayas that the Malachim do not know what we think. They know what we do.
What's the impact of
the dual? They can be our advocates. They can be our they can be better advocates, and they can be a worse mekaterim, the prosecutors. If they know that we have good machshavos, so they can advocate upon us. Look, he wanted to do the mitzvah, so Hashem have rachmanis upon him. And if they know our machshavos, even if we don't succeed, get him. He really wanted to do it. So it has a nafkamina. Look, when we daven, it also has a nafkamina. It has a very big nafkamina in the Nusach HaTfilin. Many yeshivos, they omit different sections of the slichos and different sections of davening where it mentions malachim. Machnis Seirachanim. Machnis Seirachanim. Even right on Ne'ilah, one of the last things you say in Ne'ilah, there's a whole thing about Malachim. So some say it, some don't say it. Why are there people who do not say it? Because Malachim, you don't deal with Malachim. You don't go to the source. You go straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a more fundamental issue. The Malachim can't even help you because the ikar part of Tefillah is Kavana. Even if Malachim could help you, but Malachim have to know our Kavana. So even if we in the Malachim do assist, but how could they possibly assist us and bring our prayers before HaKadosh Baruch Hu if they don't really appreciate, they don't really understand the depth of our thoughts? Okay, so this is a big debate. One of the primary sources to this issue is the pasuk here in this prayer of Shlomo HaMelech. I have to find the pasuk. The pasuk, we learned this pasuk yesterday. Here it is, in pasuk lamed. Pasuk lamed v'ata. Okay, pasuk l'perek v'pasuk v'ata v'yu. Tishma min ha-shamayim, m'choy n'shivtecha. V'solachta v'nasata lo'ish k'chol d'rocha, v'asher teda es levavo. Ki ata levadicha yodata. You, Hashem, alone know es levav b'nei ha'adam, the heart of man. What's the emphasis? Akol levadcha. So many want to bring a ride that Tosfos, there must be some misunderstanding of what Tosfos really means, the Malach Noah Machshava, because it's clear as day in this pasuk, only you, Hashem, alone, levadcha. That's a powerful word, know what our kavanas are. So what about Tosfos? So Tosfos, you have to learn Shana Tosfos, is that from the person's actions, then, in retrospect, the Malachim have an insight to what a person's Kavanah was. But only Hashem really knows the true thoughts of man. Okay, so this is a very interesting source, very interesting Makar.
Prime example of that would be Sarah.
Bekirba Leymar, Bekirba. She laughed inside of her.
Did they observe it, or did they read it?
Okay.
Okay.
Hashem knows machshavos.
Yeah, so
that's Hashem. I'm not talking about Hashem. I'm talking about the malachim.
So that's a proof that malachim don't know.
What's the right? Just because Hashem knows, Hashem knows, and malachim also know. Hashem's in control, but malachim also know the thoughts of man. Possibly, this pasuk indicates no. Only Hashem knows. No one else. Okay, now before we conclude this tefillah, there's one amazing vart. There is one fascinating idea I saw from the Mishpatzos Zohar, Rabbi Weiss. He has an amazing creative idea. I believe it's his own, and he wants to show them that this tefillah, that you have to remember, this was the inaugural prayer in the Beis Hamikdash. Bizman HaZeh, when we pray, our prayers are directed towards Eretz Yisrael, towards Yerushalayim, and towards the Beis Hamikdash. The lyric goes up to Shemayim. Right? Isn't it? What happened until this point in time? What happened in the Midbar? I don't know the answer to this question. In the Midbar, when there was the Mishkan and Klal Yisrael davened to Hashem, how did their tefillos go to Shemayim? Did their tefillos go direct to Shemayim, or did their tefillos go through the Mishkan to Shemayim? I don't know the answer.
Did they come to the Mishkan to daven?
Possibly, it was a place of the Shekhinah was resting there. But let's say they were not. Let's say, do they daven towards the Mishkan? I'm curious. In the Mishkan, they all stood around the Mishkan. They all lived. Did they daven towards? Did everyone daven towards the Mishkan? It doesn't say anywhere. When Shiloh and Klal Yisrael was low, they came into Eretz Yisrael. They were in Gilgal for 14 years. So, and there were people living all over Eretz Yisrael, and they daven three times a day. We have to assume that because Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov were mesakein the shachar espincha ma'ariv, and tefillah is connected to korbanos. So we have a right to assume they davened every day. It was not, maybe it wasn't exactly the way we daven, but they daven. Did they daven facing Mishkan Gilgal? If Gilgal was in the north, did everyone daven north? When they came to Shiloh, did they daven towards Shiloh? When they were Neuven Givon, did they daven towards Neuven Givon? Even if they didn't daven towards it, did the tefillos, whatever...
They had the Kavanas Aleid in that direction.
Did they? It doesn't say that anywhere. The first time we find this concept is here. That's what he says over and over, that through this makom, that was the pasuk that we just read, pasuk lamed ches, v'shavu elecha b'chol libam v'chol nafsham be'eretz shivyam asher shavu osam v'hispalalu derech aretz asher nasat alav osam.
Had to say this because till then everyone used different places. So now he had to say
they had bomos. What do you mean different places?
Until, bomos, right?
No, that was a carbon. That was a so offering a carbon is not the same exact thing as davening.
He had tefillos when he did a carbon.
What?
He didn't have tefillos.
So my question is, when you spalel, does that mean the tefillah goes straight to Shemayim?
The chakras could have been giving the carbon and in the morning, but that was
Shemayim. Okay, we don't know. It's not clear. But in this tefillah, for the very first time, he presents a concept, a new concept, that prayer is done. Hashem Aleichem. That prayer was done by directing it towards Eretz Yisrael, towards Yerushalayim, towards the Beis Hamikdash, and the lira goes to Shemayim. This is something that is new. It's not at all clear what happened when there was a Shiloh and a Givon, if people daven towards a central location, they just daven wherever they are, and how the tefillos were channeled towards Shemayim. Okay, it's the first time. Very good. Now Rabbi Weiss in the Sefer Mishpat Zav says that since this prayer, this very elaborate prayer that begins Pasuk Gidal and goes to the end of the parak, was the first prayer in the Beis Hamikdash, and from here on in Klal Yisrael, everyone when they daven are going to daven facing the Beis Hamikdash, all of our tefillos from Mikanel Haba are going to be channeled through this final resting place. It has to be that in this tefillah is rooted the shoyrish of our tefillos, of our Shmona Esrei. Now the ikar part of tefillah is the Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei is when you oymei lefnei hamelach. So indeed he says, he takes note, there's a fascinating idea, a very creative idea, that if you look at the tefillah, you'll discover you have mamish, the whole seder hadvarim of the Shmona Esrei. With the exception, he doesn't say the modem, he doesn't do the end of the last three brachos, doesn't discuss. He just goes through from the beginning of Shmona Esrei until you get to the end of Shmona, end of the ikar part of Shmona Esrei, which is Shema Kolenu. Baruch Atah Hashem, Shemea Tfil. We know that when we dive in the structure of prayer, is refers to Shavach, there is praise. He first praise Hashem with three brachos, Avos, Gevura, and Ato Kadosh, and then there are the 13 middle blessings where we ask for our needs, the Bakashos, and then we wind down with Hoida, thanks, which is Ritzei, and Modim, and the Sim Shalom that we wind down. So now I want to just show you now, he shows here that in this tefillah, I'll show you very quickly, he shows here that you have at least the major structure of the Shmona Esrei. Now let me show you what he means. So let's go back to Pasuk Yudalit. Pasuk Yudalit begins the prayer, because Pasuk Yudgimel concludes, he gathered the entire Kahal, Vayivrach al Birkov, he gets down on his knees, Neged Kol Kahal Yisrael, Vayifros Kapov Hashemayim, and he raises his hands towards heaven. And now he begins, Vayoyimar. So what's the first theme? Hashem Elokei Yisrael Ein Kamocha Elokim Bashman Varitz Hashem Arbitz V'Yachesed Lavadecha. Let's go to Pasuk Tezvav Asher Shamarto Le'Avdecha David Avi. The first thing that Shlomo Melech does in his prayer is he invokes the Zuchus of his father David Avi. It goes and he elaborates Pasuk Tezvav Tezayin V'Ato Hashem Elokei Yisrael Shemar Le'Avdecha David Avi. He elaborates about his father David. Okay, Pasuk Yud Zayin Nochamol. V'yata Hashem Lechei Yishol Yemen Devarech Asher Dibat L'Avdecho L'David. All about David. What's the first bracha Shmona Esrei? The Avos. Our forefathers. That's exactly what Shlomo HaMelech does, the Avos. Okay, Pasuk Yud Ches. Then it begins to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, basically there's no one like you. Ki Ha'umnam. Can it really be that Yeshev Elokim Esa Adam Al Aretz, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to live with man? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to, the Shekhinah is going to rest on this mundane earth together with man? How could that possibly be? Hashem, there's no one like you. In other words, the next psukim here capture the theme of Gevura. Okay, the main bracha is about, but the bracha begins with Gevura. Gavud HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ata Gibar Li'olam Hashem, that you are beyond your, the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not to be compared to human beings. Man is temporary, man is mortal, man dies, doesn't exist. And it goes on, the themes of Kihu Umnam Yeshu Lukim HaSa'odam El'orot Hinei HaShemayim U'Shmei HaShemayim Lo Yichal Kilukha Af, certainly Ki Abayis HaZeh Asher Bonisi Ufonisa Ufonisam. This theme of recognizing the infinite nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu captures the theme of Ata Gibar Li'olam Hashem Mechayim Es Ma'ata Rav Lehoshia. Okay, then when he goes on Pasuk Yutes, let's see, Pasuk Yutes is part of that same theme. Li'os Nebisulah Lavaizayim V'Layla. El Hamok Mashamat Lohi Pasuk Chaf Losum Shimcha Sham Lishmoya El Hatfila Shayispal Avdukha El Hamok Mazer. This captures the theme of Ata Kadosh. Ata Kadosh V'Shimcha Kadosh U'Kidosh Shimchol Yom Yahalelucha Sela. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Ata HaKadosh Shimcha Kadosh, is that theme is captioned in Pasuk Lamed. Pasuk Lamed, Liyos Inecha Psuchos Elabayis HaZeh, Yomom Volayla. Ata HaKadosh Shimcha Kadosh, B'chol Yom Yahalelucha Sela. A recognition that Shimcha is Kadosh, B'chol Yom. Those themes are really captioned in Pasuk Lamed. Liyos Pasuk Chav. Liyos Einecha Pesuchos Elabayis Yoimam Volayla El Hamok Mashamata Losum Shimcha Shan. That your Shechina should rest in this place. L'shmoy L'tilu V'ashay Yispal Avra Olam HaMazeh. Okay, now what comes next? What comes next in the Shemona Esrei? The next bracha is Ato Chonein La'odam Das. Well, so he, it's again, the Vort, I want to make it very clear. The Vort is not a perfect Vort. But there's definitely
it was not established yet.
But there's definitely something to what he's saying. He's saying that this is the first prayer that is being said in the Beis Hamikdash. This is the, and in this prayer he wants to show. If you look very carefully, you see the basic form of the Shemona Esrei. Every Shemona Esrei that's going to be said Mikan Laba is going to be directed towards the Beis HaMikdash, and it's going to have similarities to the very first prayer that Shlomo HaMelech is making in this Malkum. Now, it's not exactly the same, but there are definitely hints. There are definitely concepts that are definitely parallels. You start off with Avos. That's very clear. That's the very first thing. David Avdecha. The next thing is acknowledge Ki Umnam Yeshu Lukim Al Es Adam. A recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a human being. There's a very fundamental difference between man and HaKadosh Baruch. Hashem is ruchni, man is mortal, you can't compare. That, in essence, is the theme of the second bracha, of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Tchiyas HaMeisim means HaKadosh Baruch, you live le'olam, you're forever. Ata Gibor le'olam Hashem, and we only live here for a short amount of time, and you have the kech of Tchiyas HaMeisim. There's an acknowledgement that we're not the same. We're not on the same level. And that's what it says in Pasuk Yud Ches. Ki Omnam Yeshu Elokim Es Adam. Then we come to the third brach. Ata Kadosh Shimcha Kadosh Hakadosh Shemuchol Yom Yehalelucha Sela. Our recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, the way we relate to Hashem's essence is through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, His attributes, and we attempt to connect with Him every single day. Kadosh Shemuchol Yom Yehalelucha Sela. The essence of this bracha is alluded to. It's not perfect. Granted, is alluded to in Pasuk Chaf. Liyos Nech B'Shuchas Alabayis HaZeh Yom V'Layla, that your presence, your eyes will be attentive to this Makam day and night. El HaMakam Asher Amarto Losum Shim Chasham. Your Shechina, your holy name, will rest in this Makam. Now we come to the third, next Brach and Shemona Esrei. We begin the Bakashos of Chachma. What did Shlomo Melech want Chachma for? Shlomo made it very clear, when he was 12 years old and became Melech, he wants Chachma to judge. That's what it says in Melachim. We know the first thing that Shlomo did when he became Melech, he became a judge, a Shofet. And the Pesukim illustrate that, the wisdom of Shlomo. The two women who came to him with fighting over a baby, that the baby died, and who the baby Who does the baby belong to? Does it belong to one of the two women? And Shlomo said to split it in half. That ma'aseh illustrated the chochma of Shlomo as a shofet. Let's continue. Pasuk chaf aleph. Pasuk chafav shemata el tacha nunei avdech ve'el amcho yisrael asher yisparlu el magam hazeh v'yat v'dishma magam v'mshitcha v'nashmaim v'shmata v'solach. Okay, there's a stich, but that's not the point. That's not, we're not focused on stich yet. Pasuk haveis im yechet ha'ish l'riyehu. Now there is a disagreement, there is a dispute. That's how we learn psuk. There's a fight between two people. Yechet ha'ish l'riyehu, man sins against his fellow man, and there is a disagreement, and they come to the Beis HaMikdash, and they, one utters a shavu, an oath. Either it's a true oath, a shavuas emes, or a shavuas sheker. And what does Shlomo say? And they make a shavu in your holy name by the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash. Please, Hashem, punish the wicked and reward the righteous. Judge them. For judgment, what do you need? Chochma. And in fact, that was what Shlomo Melech asked of HaKadosh Baruch Hu after he became king. Grant me chochma so that I can serve as the ultimate judge. So here we find the theme of chochma comes right after the brach of Ato Kadosh. L'hoshiv l'roshav t'loses darkov roshav l'tahatzik tzadik l'oses lokit goso. The concept of mishpat, which requires chachma. Now, what comes next? No, well, I told you it's not a perfect drasha. It's you have to. Maybe we have a misunderstanding of what the brach of Shiva Shatirik of Rishona, what it is. This idea has the advantage of opening up for us in the opposite direction. Maybe a greater appreciation of what exactly we're asking in the Shemona Esther. If it is true, it's a very big, it's an idea that there is a parallel between the two, it works both ways. And the pasuk here is very clear what we're asking for. Then when we look back at the Shemona Esther, we can perhaps have a different appreciation of what we are really asking for in the Shemona Esther. Okay, let's go further. Then we come to pasuk Chav Dalet, Vim Yinogiv Amcha Yisrael Lufnei Oyev, Ki Yechetu Lach. Chait, what comes after Atachonil and Das? The bracha of Slach Lanu. Now, really, there are three brachas. Here's where he's going a little bit off the beaten track. He's basically saying over here, we're going to put together three brachas in one shot. Hashiveinu, Slach Lanu, and Re'enu Avonyenu Geula. Let's see what it says. Let's see how these psukim go. Ki yechetu lach v'shavu v'hoidu eshemecha. They will shavu, they will sin. The shavu, after they sin, what will they do? They will do tshuva. Okay, vishavu. That's hashiveinu. Hashiveinu avinu l'sara secha. Vishavu. V'hoidu esh, they will confess their sins. V'spalu v'hishanu l'fenecha v'bayis hazeh. V'yato atishva min hashamayim v'solachta l'chata samcha. And you will return them geula el huadam asher nasat olachem l'vavosehem. So it's pretty clear that pasuk chav dalid and pasuk chav hey can capture the essence of hashiveinu slach lanu re'enu v'onyenu goal Yisrael. It's exactly what it says here. If they will sin, they'll be nogef. They will do tshuva. Hashiveinu avinu l'sara secha v'karveinu malkein l'avoido secha v'espalu, and then they will confess v'hoidu eshemecha, they will confess their sins v'yato tishma min hashemayim v'solachta, you will forgive them and you will redeem them v'hashivosam el hodam asher nesatam, you will return them to their land. That's the brach of Goal Yisrael re'enu v'nyenivu v'edu gulin mehir l'man shemecha. That's pretty good. Okay, this part of the drasha, this part of the idea, is pretty much on the mark. These two psukim capture the essence of hashiveinu, slach lanu, and geula. Okay, what comes next in the Shemona Esrei? Well, this fits in two things, rifa'enu and borichaleinu. Now here, it's not so perfect. He reverses it. He reverses the order. It's clear as day, the next words of chavav is behotzer hashman v'lo yemotar, the brach of borichaleinu. Okay? And then go further, Fiat Tishma Shman Vasalakta, you'll forgive them and you'll give them matar. Ra'av Kiyev Aretz, Dever, what happens when there's Ra'av? Go further, Ra'av, famine, and Dever. Dever is a machala. That's you need a refu from a Dever. Shidafoid Vierok and Arbe Vikhastilin, it makes it very clear that you keep the Psukim Asher Yedu Ish Nigoy Umach Oivoy. His nega. And his machav, his pain, which is a refuah. So ulforas kapov el habayis azeviata tishma mishman mukham shivdech v'solachta v'nasat lish kechod rochav v'shetit v'zvavo. You're going to listen to the prayer, and you're going to give them what they request. Kiyata levatcha yodat v'zvav b'nei amecha. So here you have the two brachas. He acknowledges that it's in the reverse order. It's true. You have to there too. You have over here first behotzer hashemayim loyem motor. That's the bracha borich aleinu, and then you have very clearly the rav and the dever and the nega and the machala. That's rifa'enu. So you have the next two brachas of the shmona esrei, albeit in reverse order. Okay, then what comes next? What comes next is geula tekab b'shoifer gadol lecherusenu sonetz chavetz kulsenu. So now we go further. L'man yiruucha loches the rav of rachol yamim hashem chem al adama hashem sal lavosem v'gam el hanochri. Asher loy me amcha yisrael hu ba me eretz rechayka. So, in a way, it does, because the kav b'shoifer gadol lecherusen v'sonetz lekabetz goluyosenu. Who is going to assist us in the geula? We need the goyim. And in fact, in Sefer Yeshayah, it's all about the goyim. What the goyim? They're going to bring presents.
It's the next pasuk says it even better.
Yeah. But what? There's a very beautiful idea. In the end of Yeshayah. There's a very popular, beautiful idea. When Mashiach comes, the goyim are going to want to bring a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what are they going to give? Money? We're not going to need their money. What are they going to give? They're going to give covet? We don't need their covet. What are they going to give? They're going to give the shamos. So it says in the pasuk, they're going to go, the goyim are going to open up their records, and they're going to dig deep, deep down into the yichus of every single citizen in their country, and they're going to search, me Yehudi, who is a Jew? They're going to use every tool at their disposal, every technology that they have to discover who is really a Jew in hiding. In other words, they're going to figure out, and they're going to take them. We know for a fact that you're Jewish. Your mother is Jewish. Your grandmother is Jewish. You're a Jew. You think you're a guy. You think you're a Buddhist. You think you're a Christian. You think you're a monk. You're really Jewish. And what are they going to do? They're going to pick him up, and they're going to bring him to Yerushalayim. And they're going to go to Melech HaMashiach and they're going to say, we have a gift to give you. It's not going to be a CD. It's not going to be gold and silver. Here's one of yours. Here's one of your lost neshamos. The goyim are going to do this. And that's what it alludes to. That's what it alludes to. V'gam es el hanochri asher lemiyamcha yishol hu bo me'eretz rechaykal leman shimcha hagadol v'yod chazok v'zrach netuyim ebohu v'spal l'albayis azedek nekam tekab b'shoifer gadol l'chayrusin v'sonis l'kabit skul yosin v'kabsin yachan me'arba kan foyesaretz. The goyim are going to participate in this. Yad tishma shma v'mechom shivcha v'yosik chosha yikur alelecha hanochri. Okay, then now let's go further. Now comes, and that's going to be. And now, where do we have a Shiva Shafinika version of Yotinika Vathiva Samyogan Vanocha? Oh, Hashiva Shaftenu Kavar, where is the Hashiva Shaftenu Kavarishina? The shayftim, so that it comes from Yosisa Mishpatam. That goes further. Now we go to the Mulchama. Ki yetze anegnei pasuk lamedalet. Ki yetze amcha la Mulchama al oiva ba derech asher tisholchem vispalu ilecha derech oyerzos asher b'chad b'am v'bay shabnitsa v'shamata min ha-shamayim asilasam v'yastachinasam v'yosisa mishpatam. Mishpatam alludes to the next bracha Hashiva shatidik v'yoshon v'yosinik v'atik v'asim yogam v'anachim loch leinu Shaifteinu, to return our Shaifteim that will do our Mishpat. Then we come to V'lam Al-Shinim, the Rishoyim, Ki Yechetu Loch, Ki Ein Odom Asher Lo Yecheta. Okay, that, you can't do better than that. And according to Rashi, it's even better, because Rashi says, why is it going to be that it's going to be the Anafta, Hashem is going to get an Anafta bomb? Because we don't have Tzadikim among us. Because if the word Tzadikim among us, it's because Ki Ein Asher, Ki Ein odam asher lo yechta. We don't have among us tzaddikim, but if we had among us tzaddikim, we would not have v'yanavta. So those two brachas, v'amoshinim and alat tzaddikim, are alluded to in this these psukim. Okay, but it's in Echnami, it's not exactly here either. It's not exactly here either. It's alluded to. It's more alluded to that you don't have tzaddikim. We're missing tzaddikim. The contrast between the tzaddikim and the malshinim is very simple. So it's Chazal just the general structure is here. This is way before the Shemoneh Esrei. We're dealing over here. How many years before the Shemoneh Esrei? We're dealing here about 500 years before they put the Shemoneh Esrei together. But the theme of the Shemoneh Esrei, you can't say not. Okay, next comes the bracha of Yerushalayim Yircha, and this is perfect. Okay, here it goes further. Ve'yishivu el levav be'orit asher nishbosham v'shav v'schanu elecha be'eret shevyam le'emer chatan v'in v'shanu v'shav elecha l'b'cholim b'cholnavsham be'eret shevyam asher shavu otsam v'hispalilu derech artsam asher nasatu lohem v'u'i asher b'charta v'labayis asher b'nisa l'shmecha. They're going to pray derech artsam. They're going to be in Galus and they're going to pray towards Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim Yircha. Okay, Yerushalayim Yircha, and they're going to, and it's going to be to the bayis asher bonisi l'sher l'shmecha, to the bayis which I built, the bayis and David, semach David asher satzmiach. Yerushalayim and semach David is one theme. Even according to one version of the Shemoneh Esrei, there was one bracha. There's, you can't separate Yerushalayim from the malchus of David, and that's what it will lose asher bonisi l'shmecha. I Shlomo, the Melech HaMashiach, the Anointed One, built in your honor. It's clear as day. And then he concludes, winds down. V'shamata min ha-shamayim v'chom shifteha as tefilosav yel techinosav v'yasiz ha-mishpatam v'l'slachta l'chamcha. And he goes, ad atoy lokai yu noa einecha p'suchos v'lesnecha shuvos. Listen! L'tfilas ha-mokoyim ha-zeh shmakoy leinu. It's amazing. You can't just push this idea off, away. It's not perfect. You have to elaborate, you have to fill in some of the missing gaps, and you have to have a little bit more of an elaboration. But it's a very long prayer. There's a lot of verbosity. There's a lot of what is going on, all these different things. What is exactly Shlomo HaMelech coming over here to do? What he's doing is something that is just amazing. He's here formulating the original version of the Shemoneh Esrei. It's an incredible idea. And who's the one that says, you would think the Gros said this. The Gros didn't say this. This was said by a person who's living in our generation. His name is Rabbi Weiss. He wrote these incredible svarim called the Mishmas HaZav. And I think it's a very powerful stuff. It's not perfect. It's not perfect. You have to work it out. I'm sure the more you work it out, the more you can refine it and develop it. But this is the inaugural tefillah in the Beis Hamikdash, from whom Klal Yisrael is going to pray forever, and the basic themes of the Shemoneh Esrei appear here in this nusach. Okay, with that we will stop.